Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. It is a blessing to be with you, and I pray that our times together are a blessing. I pray that they strengthen your faith, that they draw you closer to the Lord, that they help you grow in His grace. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki again for all that they do to make these times possible, but obviously more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord for His love for us, for creating us, for making salvation possible, for bringing us to that salvation, for that salvation, in fact, being a reconciliation into a wonderful eternal relationship with Him, the fact that He wants us to know Him, to experience Him, the fact that He wants to be a very real component and part of our life. What a wonderful God we have. And so as we begin our time together with Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. Lord, this time, O God, to come together, to meet with You, to hear from You. Thank You, O God, for Your love for us, that in spite of the fact that we're sinners, You have sent Your Son to die upon the cross and rise again for us, that You've sent Your Spirit to bring us to saving faith. Father, that You have, in fact, adopted us as Your children. You want us to know You. You've given us this time to meet with You, to hear from You. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us to understand this psalm. Lord, certainly the words, the thoughts that are there. But, oh God, to understand You through it all. Help us, Lord, to know You not just in our head, but in our heart, in our walk, in our life. Lord, speak to us. Draw us closer. Deepen our walk with You, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we open God's Word to Psalm 138, we begin reading in verse 1, where it says, I will give You thanks with all my heart. Now, we read that, and it goes through our mind, you know I ought to do that. I should do that. But, you know, as I look around at the world conditions today, as I look at the conditions of our own nation, as I look at the affairs of my own life, the problems, the adversities, the difficulties, the uncertainties, I know I should be able to give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, but I'm really struggling to do that right now because all these other things preoccupy me and have my focus, have my concern. And yet as we read through the balance of Psalm 138, and it's not that long, it's only 8 verses long, we not only see why we ought to, in fact, be thanking the Lord, even in spite of all those things I just described, and maybe some others that you're encountering in your life today, but this balance of the psalm not only leads us to why we ought to thank Him, but it actually lifts our spirit to where we can, and it actually strengthens our faith and our trust in the Lord, as we see why David was able to say this about giving thanks unto the Lord. As we see, also was the very foundation of his life. And so as we look at Psalm 138, and we see the reasons to thank the Lord, we see, first of all, his goodness. That is the very nature of who he is, that he is in fact good. Look again, very first part of verse 1, but now going all the way through verse 2. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down towards your holy temple. I will give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. You think of the loving kindness and the truth of God describes everything that God does. And the fact that it's, in fact, beyond anything that we can ever imagine or comprehend. That's what he means there when he says that you have magnified your word, even better than what God has described. As wonderful as God has described himself to be, our capacity to understand, the ability of our language to be able to express God's greatness, his goodness, his loving kindness, his truth, is so much better than that. You think about what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, where it says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I know when we read that and hear that, it's usually at a funeral. And it certainly applies. You know, what God has prepared for us eternally goes beyond anything we can imagine. But he's not talking there really about our what we will experience in eternity to come. He's talking about the wonder of knowing and walking with Christ now. It is so much better than what we can, in fact, ever hope to imagine. Again, and we cannot, our human language cannot express it. And it cannot be found in anywhere else. When David's talking there about singing praises before the gods, he's not saying that those gods really exist. Now, obviously there's a demonic power behind false gods. But he was saying God alone is the true God. And he is so much greater than we can ever comprehend. His goodness, his loving kindness, his truth. We can't begin to put it into words. You know, there was a song in Christian circles several years ago, and you still hear it occasionally. I've always loved it. More than wonderful. And how that describes our God. And we stop and think about the goodness of God and how he has poured that goodness into our lives. We'll thank him. And not only will we thank him, but our entire outlook will change. Those worries, those problems, those burdens will in fact begin to diminish. We'll see them in a whole new perspective. Our whole outlook will change when we think about the goodness of God. It leads us to thank him, and it changes our every aspect about our life. Not only that, we see his goodness, yes, but we also see his answers. You think about what David said in verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with the strength in my soul. You think about what David's saying there. When I called, you answered. You think about God's answers to prayer in your life. Maybe you prayed for guidance, for provision. Maybe you prayed for strengthening. You think about how God provided it. You know, even those times when God said no, sooner or later, there was the realization, the understanding that God's no was really the best answer that he could give. That he truly knows what is in fact best. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 tells us, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. You know, this ought to change our outlook about every situation. While we ought to be able to give thanks, even in every problem, because we have a Father whom we can go to, and we can entrust everything to him, and we can seek him. You think about a non-believer, and I hope that's not where you are. I hope that you are not someone who has not placed their faith and trust in Christ. God sent his only begotten Son to die and rise again for you, to adopt you as his child. And as once you're a child of God, you think about the difference it makes. Every single problem, every single burden, every single worry, we can take to him in prayer. And we can trust him with it, knowing he will move and work in ways that go beyond our ability to understand. And even when we don't understand why he answers in a certain way, we can trust his heart in that answer. We can trust him. What a wonderful God we have. What a reason to give thanks. His answers. We see his goodness. We see his answers. But then look at number 3, his greatness. Look at verses 4 and 5. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. You think of the greatness of God. You think about that blessing that we used to teach children, and I assume parents and churches and Christian schools still do. You know, God is great, God is good. A lot of theology there. A lot of theology that we adults would do well to learn in both our head and our heart. God is, in fact, great. And notice who it is who acknowledges God's greatness in these verses. It's the kings. And understand, I know we live in a time of you know, we hear the word king. What goes through our mind is what we'd call a constitutional monarchy. The king or queen, depending on the country, is really just a figurehead, has very little power, is more of a formality, a very expensive formality, but more of a formality than anything else. But everyone enjoys it, and it's a tradition, so they more or less keep it going. Kings in the ancient world had absolute power. Their power had no checks or balances upon it. Whatever they wanted, they could do. And yet notice, it is these men who have all that power, it is these men who are acknowledging the fact that God is the fact who is the one who is great. In spite of the fact that these kings have power, what they're having to say here is, we're, compared to him, we're in fact nothing. And you know, it ties into our prayer. This great God, great beyond measure, is the one who answers our prayer. This one who has absolute power and absolute capability. There's no limit to what he can do, and what he wants to do is always what is best and good, as we've already described. This is the God that we can trust, even in the midst of the problems and issues that we face right now, nationally to be sure, even personally. His greatness. You know, when we begin to shift our focus to God instead of the problem, it's amazing how much smaller and more manageable that problem becomes. But then think about number four, his grace. Verse 6, For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty knows from afar. You know, sometimes we struggle, why on earth would such a great God want to have anything to do with me? It's because the very nature of God is the one of grace. Certainly we see that in salvation. God, this holy, righteous, almighty God, wanting to save us weak, helpless sinners. And yet his grace does not end at salvation. It's only the beginning of the wonderful experience of a life of grace. And it's amazing, the word picture in the Old Testament is that of stooping. And you can certainly see the picture. You think about a child who is hurt or scared, and it runs to its mom or its dad because it knows, not only is it safe with its mom and dad, but it knows his mom or his dad is in fact going to reach down, pick him up, hold him. He knows his mom or his dad is going to stoop, bend over and pick him up. What a picture of God. His wonderful grace, how he wants to help us. No, we have there's nothing in us that would cause God to have to answer us, but it comes from his own heart. The wonderful grace of God. But then lastly, as we look at this psalm, we see his faithfulness. Look at verses 7 through 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Did you notice how many times the word will is used in those verses? You think again at verse 7. You will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand. Your right hand will save me. You look at verse 8. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. There's the absolute faithfulness of God. There's not a doubt there. You think about what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and grace in Christ Jesus. What a reason to give thanks. We can trust God with every single thing in every situation. I know we refer to it quite often, but you think about what we read in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. What a reason to give thanks. We have absolute confidence in God. You know, reading this psalm, it shifts our attention from the problem back to God himself, our wonderful, loving, great, gracious, faithful God. It leads us to trust. It leads us to thanksgiving, even in the midst of a problem. I hope that's your experience today. Hope that you will take these words to David heart, and even if you're facing difficulty, I hope that you will allow this psalm to turn your heart back to the Lord so that you can trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you for this day, and oh God, for who you are, for your wonderful faithfulness and goodness, your trustworthiness. Father, turn our heart towards you as we look at the problems in this world, our nation, even our own lives. And Father, may we find strength and confidence in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's been a blessing to be with you, and I hope that you found it a blessing. There's a mama bird over my shoulder who's not too happy with me being here right now, so we'll go ahead and close, but certainly it's been a blessing for me. But I hope that you do have a good and godly day. Hope that you have a wonderful day in the Lord. And I hope that you do experience His love and His grace in all that you do.